Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord tonight? How many of you enjoyed services here over the weekend? Praise the Lord. We're just so glad to be back in the house of God tonight. Another privilege that the Lord has given you and me to be able to come to the house of God to worship Him in spirit and in truth. What a privileged people we are. It's not something that you dread, not something that you're just, well, I've got to go to church tonight. No, we get to go to church tonight. Praise the Lord. Well, isn't it good? Don't you love it tonight with all your heart? Somebody say praise the Lord. Why don't you turn around, shake somebody's hand, give them a big smile. Tell them you're glad to see them in the house of God tonight. Nothing can for sin atone. And it's not of good that I have done. And this is all of my righteousness. Well, now, oh, precious is the flow that makes me whiter. Let's look at our prayer request tonight, if you don't care to stand with me just for a few minutes. Sister Martha Ann Johnson says, please pray for my mother. She has been having very bad headaches for the last several weeks. Also, her mother wants to thank the Lord for bringing her through her bout with bronchitis that she recently had. So let's just continue to pray for this lady tonight, that the Lord would just bring her right on along. I want to pray for Sister Shirley. Fell down having trouble with her right side, very painful. So let's remember her tonight as we pray. I want to pray for Brother Terry, Sister Jaretta Stockton. They're both anemic, feeling very poorly tonight. So let's pray that the Lord would be mindful of them. Brother Jim Hughes has an unspoken prayer request he'd like for this assembly to pray about. I want to pray for Jordan and Emma Hayton. Both are at home, sick tonight, need a touch from the Lord. I want to remember Sister Lona in prayer tonight. She is to have some tests tomorrow. Pray that everything will be all right. Brother Gary sends that in, so we just commit that unto the Lord. Brother Fred Green sends this in tonight to please pray for David Green and his wife, Chris, Sister Chris. The Lord is a God of restoration, and he just praying that the Lord would just touch their lives, and we just commit that all unto the Lord tonight. We know he's able, don't we? Please continue to pray for Sister Janet Lehman. She came home from the hospital this afternoon, so let's pray that the Lord would just continue to bring our sister right along. Susan Siler sends this in to please pray for my cousin Michaela, and her family. She found her husband passed away this morning from a heart attack. They have three young children. He was only 36 years old. So we want to pray for that family, that situation the Lord knows all about. We just commit it all unto the Lord tonight. Want to remember Sister Natalie Yance in prayer. She doesn't get to have the surgery that she was scheduled for on tomorrow. There are some complications with her small intestines. She was very upset. She may get to have She may get to have it in the next few weeks. They found a tumor on her liver. She's having surgery on that tomorrow. They're going to try to freeze it. She will also find out tomorrow if she can have more chemotherapy. So we just want to continue to pray for Sister Natalie Yance, that the Lord would just certainly be mindful of her sister. We continually think of her and pray for her as a body. I believe we do. And we certainly don't want to let her down. We just hold her to the Lord. We know that God's got it all in control. Whatever happens, she's a winner either way. Whatever happens in our lives, if we're committed to Christ, I can't lose. How about you? You can't lose. We're winners either way. So we just commit all these things unto the Lord, and we know that He's more than able to meet every need. What can wash away all of our sins? What can wash away all of your sicknesses, all of your depression, everything that's wrong with you? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the that makes me, Brother Joe. No other.
Let's all pray together. Heavenly Father, how precious is that blood, Lord. Lord, we know in this Laodicean age, Lord, that blood is as fresh as it was at the day it flowed down the cross, Father. Lord, it has the same power, Father. Lord, it has power to cleanse us from sins. Lord, to deliver us from anything that Satan would take against us, Lord. Lord, the power of that blood, Lord, can heal every request, Lord, has been brought up here this night, Lord. Every hand that was raised, Lord. Lord, when you look at that blood, Lord, when you look at me, you see your righteousness, Lord. Lord, Satan has nothing to combat the righteousness of our Father. Lord, help us tonight, Lord, to hold on to that, Lord. Hold on to the power of that blood, Lord. Brother Branham said, Lord, that gave us authority, Father. Lord, as we come together, Father, as one body, Lord, of the bride of Jesus Christ, claiming every need, Father, and that your will would be done in each one, Lord. Lord, Satan has no power against that, Lord. We know he's a bluff, Father. Lord, we're coming tonight. We're in agree, Lord, that these needs that would be read, Lord, that were read, Lord, each hand that was raised, Father. Lord, that we'd come together and agree, Father, that whatever your will be done, Lord. Sister Natalie, oh Lord, as our heart goes out, Lord, the battle that she's had, Father. Lord, the devil has buffeted her, Lord. Surely, Lord God, she must be on your side, Lord, or he wouldn't be battling her so hard, Father. Lord, I'm going to believe for our sister's healing, Lord. I'm going to believe the healing, Lord, of Brother Terry and Sister Jaretta, Lord. Sister Martha Johnson's request, Lord. The sister there, Lord, that her husband passed away, Father. The comfort of that family, Lord. We're going to believe together, Father, of everyone that was read tonight, dear Lord. We're going to agree together, Lord, that you are welcome here tonight, Lord. We're going to agree together, Father, that the power and the word, Lord, that we hear tonight can conquer anything, Lord, that Satan comes against us, Father. We're going to believe it, Lord. Bless our brother as he brings the word, Lord. Anoint him, Father. May he get out of the way, Lord, and let you have preeminence tonight, Lord. Speak to my heart, Lord. Speak to your children, Lord. Brother Louie and the brothers, Lord, leading the service, Father. I pray that you'd touch him, touch the musicians, Lord. We give you your way tonight, Father. Amen.
Amen. Ushers, if you'll come at this time, we'll receive the evening offering. If you give us unto the Lord, if you're visiting tonight with us in this service, we certainly want to welcome you. Let me make a couple of announcements. Ushers, if you'll come at this time, any youth, I was supposed to have made this announcement on Sunday morning. Sister Ivy, I want to apologize. My note got misplaced somewhere. I don't know exactly what happened to it. But for Bible school, if there's any interested youth that would be interested in maybe singing some specials during that time. I don't know exactly how they'll put it together, but all you need to do is see Sister Ivy Blair. She'll give you the full details. That's for interested youth. Maybe the children, younger children. Is that right, Sister Ivy? A praise group. All right. It can be any age. All right. So just see Sister Ivy. She'll fill you in with that on that. Also, remember the youth banquet. If you're going, get that taken care of. And they're looking to have a great, great time. Let's sing a song tonight. There's going to be a meeting in the air. He's coming back in the clouds. We're going to meet him. Aren't you glad about it? Is that your hope? The hope of the church is the coming of the Lord. That's our hope. That's our hope. Amen. You have heard of little Moses in the bulrush. You have heard of fearless David and his sling. You have heard the story told of grieving Joseph and of Jonah and the whale we often see. There are many, many others through the Bible. I should like to meet them all, I do declare. By the Lord will surely let me meet them at the meeting. Yeah. Amen. Let's sing He's Got It All in Control. That little chorus just before we change the order of the service tonight. He's got it all in control. Let's sing that tonight. You believe that with all your heart? He's got it all in control. The only thing we need to worry about is the things that God can't fix. So you worry about all that stuff. If God can't fix it, Brother Terry, we need to worry about it. But I'm glad He can fix it. Aren't you glad He can fix it? Let's look at somebody and say, He's already fixed it. It's already settled. It's already done. We're going to win. We're going to fly out of here. We're getting ready to leave here. Give Him a big hand clap of praise. Amen. Brother David, Brother Daniel, get a song ready when we finish this song. Brother Donnie, is his new CD, you have it back there? Find it and get ready to play song number 2 on that, if you would, just as soon as we finish up here. I want that to be our special tonight. I believe you'll be blessed for that. So they'll get that ready for us. But let's sing this chorus together. He has got it all in control. If I didn't believe that tonight, I'd get to believing. Because I'm going to tell you, church, the world as we know it, it's gone. The world is gone. If your hope is in bank accounts and politics, you are one sad person tonight. Our hope is in the Lord. Our hope is getting out of here. He's got it all in control. He's got it all in control. But that reassurance read out in my soul. He's got it all in control. One more time. He's got it all in control. Thank you, Lord. He's got it all in control. He's put that reassurance without in my soul. He's got it all in control. I put my life in His hands. I put my life in His hands. I put my life in His hands. Every road I walk down, I'm sure it's in His plan. I put my life in His hand. Because He's got it all in control. He's got it all in control. Before you're seated, somebody say, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
God bless you. You can be seated tonight. Brethren, if you'll play that song for us, we'll go right on into the service.
Do the same for you.
here in my heart I never felt before. He showed me love enough to give and ever hunger for. I was always lost in searching, running where I could, chasing every rainbow till I understood. He showed me love. He'll do the same for you. Jesus said he would. He showed me love. He'll do the same for you. If you'll ask him to, he showed me love. And he'll do the same for you. On my mama's knee, all heart and all ears, my eyes filled with tears. She told where he died just for me. Though the years have gone by, I still break down and cry when the story is told to me still. 'Cause it may be the truth, I'm getting over my years. I'll never be over the hill. Never be over the hill. I'll never be over Calvary. It was there sin's power over me was taken away. Oh, happy day. Overcome by the blood of the Lamb. I am saved and forever I am. Overwhelmed, overjoyed, overfilled. Never be over the hill. What was yesterday's marvel soon becomes today's mundane. But the world's greatest story, redemption glory, can never be common in fame. Though it's the Johnny come lately and admire so greatly, a new one that brings a new thrill. There's no current affair can match what happened up there. I'll never be over the hill. Never be over the hill. I'll never be over Calvary. It was there sin's power over me was taken away. Oh, happy day, overcome by the blood of the Lamb. I am saved and forever I am. Overwhelmed, overjoyed, overfilled. I'll never be over the hill. Was taken away. Oh, happy day, overcome by the blood of the Lamb. I am saved and forever I am. Overwhelmed, overjoyed, overfilled. I'm there.
So, Brother Louis, that's kind of a strange way to bring a guy out with himself singing. Let's turn to the book of Luke, if you would, tonight, chapter 12. Luke chapter 12, verse 34. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Let your loins be girded about, your lights burning, and ye yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord when he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you that he shall gird himself. Listen to this. He shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat, and he will come forth and serve them. And if he shall come in the second watch or come in the third watch, and find them so, blessed are those servants. And this know, that if the goodman of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not suffered his house to be broken through. Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when you think not. Let's bow our heads together. Truly, Heavenly Father, we believe these words are true. And we know, Lord, to take these words as the words of just a mere mortal, we will never be prepared. To take them in a passive way, to take them without very much seriousness, it'll never affect us. But if we can, by your help, take them through the eyes of the Spirit of God, then whether it's in the morning, in the wee hours, after dark, or at lunchtime, we'll be ready. Because your Spirit within us will alarm us and prepare us for that day. Help us, Lord Jesus. May every individual, dear God, may our hearts be prepared for the great day that lays before us. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, saints. You may be seated. I'd like to speak to you tonight on be ye therefore ready. Be ye therefore ready. Bless you, Brother Amos. Glad to see you on Wednesday night. What a great thing that Jesus is speaking about the end time and his coming. To be able to prepare his people, not only in the actual age that will be alive, but for those that would believe him and would take these words, these same words that we have read tonight, have comforted the hearts of tens of millions of the saints of God for 2,000 years. These words were not just spoken for the end time only. For the very setting that Jesus chooses to use would be very, very familiar to those people. To us, it's a little bit unusual because of our thinking being a Western culture. So to them, knowing the weddings, festivals, things that they had, and when Jesus spoke these things, it was identical to the way that things would have happened in that hour. Now, whenever he uses these words and he uses the parables in Matthew 25 and Matthew 22 and Revelation, of course, 19, Revelation, different places there, speaking of his coming and his advent, he covers it from one angle and another and another and another, so that the people will be prepared. He deals with the conditions of the time, the conditions of the world, the conditions of the elect, and the preparation for the elect, and what they must do, how they must watch, how they must be ready. Actually, this preparation here is more for those that are of the household of a certain man. Now, the parable that Jesus sets forth in this, if you notice the way he says it, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Let your loins be girded about and your lights be burning. Now, this is not for the setting of those that are outside the household of this man. This is for those that are a part of the household of this individual that's doing the talking. Now, he sets himself forth as actually the Lord or the master of this certain house. And because the setting would have been very common and easy for them to understand, let me reiterate it to you so that you'll be able to relate to it beyond our Western thinking. In that day, that the man that would have been the Lord or in charge of the house, he would have went out to a wedding or went out to something that would have been a social type of thing outside of his own house. He would have left his servants there, and he would have left them with their responsibilities and their duties, the things that they were to do and to carry on while he was gone. Now, the weddings, of course, were at nighttime, and the celebrations were at nighttime. So Jesus gives the setting, and he parallels how it would be with his coming in the last day. Not necessarily that the coming of the Lord would be in the time of darkness, because the cycle of the earth, for some it might be at 3 o'clock in the morning, for some it might be 12 o'clock, who knows when it would be. But the setting would be more of the time of darkness, of spiritual darkness, instead of just the daylight of the sun. So he sets it forth that it would be those that are watching for him. Now these are for the servants of this man's household. So they are to be prepared. So he tells them what to look for. Now they're to be about their responsibility, and their responsibility was solely what has been accredited and given to them in this man's house. So here they are. This one's to wash the pots. This one's to take care of serving. This one's to do this and this and this. Now the Lord of this house is out gone. He's out gone to a festivity, and he says, now this is what I want y'all to do. I want y'all to watch. I want you to be ready. I want you to have your lamps all trimmed and burning. I want your loins to be girded. I want your heart to be prepared. Because watching for him is not just the physical, visible sign of having something physically ready, but it's something also to do with the attitude of the heart. So a person just said, well, my hair's ready, and this is ready, and that's ready. No, it's more than that. It's also to do with the attitude of the heart. So watch him now in verse 35. He says, let your loins be girded about and your lights be burning. Now notice this. This alludes, of course, to the ancient manner in which the Eastern type of people would have dressed. Today, this would mean hardly nothing to us because of the way that we dress. So the way that they would dress then, of course, that they have on a long robe, and men and women both wore the robes. And in order to do much activity, what they would have a band around the middle of the robe up like this. And as long as they were serving, they would be able to walk about and move about pretty good. But if they were doing much business, they would constantly gird their robes about, and they would actually reach down, as we looked at it a while back on the prodigal son, and his father had to reach down and be able to tuck that down inside this wrap around his waist in order to be able to run. Now this was having their loins girded about in order that they would be able to serve without any hindrance. Now notice Jesus is setting forth for those of his household that they must be so prepared. Now they're not just sitting back, all of them just kind of reclining. Well, he's gone. He probably won't be back till 9 or 9:30. Until that time, man, we're going to have a party. I'm telling you what, we ain't going to do nothing. We're going to drink. We're just going to eat. We're going to lay around. We ain't going to do nothing. I mean, you know, he said, hey, don't you all forget you are my servants. Don't you forget, even though I'm not there in bodily presence, the main reason on the whole focus of everything is your attitude, your responsibility, your servitude toward the house that you're called to. You understand? Now, this is the mindset that Jesus is setting forth that those of his household must be able to maintain in order to be ready. Now, they did not know exactly when the festivities would be over. They did not know exactly when their Lord would return. So they are to be ready at any hour. Now what's going to happen is whenever their Lord will come, he may knock on the door to gain entrance into the door, and they've got to be ready at any moment. He will want no delay whatsoever. Whenever he returns back from the festivities of doing what he's been doing, they are to be ready. Now, if they've got the robes all down and they're all out dancing rock and roll and man, they're drunk and they're just doing a little bit of this and a little bit of that. And they say, wait a minute, Lord, give us about an hour to get all straightened up. I've got to rub this mascara on my face. I didn't know you was coming. I've got to get these earrings out and I've got to clean my closet out and I've got to clean my DVD player out and I've got to clean my music out. Come back in about 2 hours and knock again and we'll be ready. Lord have mercy, y'all quiet. Now notice this is for the people of the house of the master. This is not sinners. This parable is not to the unbelievers. This is not to the foolish virgins. This is to those of the household of God. So this is a mindset now that we must have. And I want to tell you right now, this is totally impossible for us as mortals to live under this anticipation. It will drive you nuts for you to do it by yourself. You can't do it. I can't do it. But he can. There's no way. It'll produce legalism every time. It'll go from the dependency on the grace of God and the Spirit of God helping us to legalism, to where you harp on this and you harp on that, and you'll never be able to do it by legalism. Brother Ben never calls it rapturing legalism. He never calls it rapturing works, but rapturing faith and grace. Right. But how are we going to be able to do it? Well, first of all, we got to acknowledge that we can't do it. That way, it makes a way for him to do it through us. Amen. Now, you think that as Jesus sets his foot, now he says to these people, he says, let your loins be girded about. So here they are with their flowing outer garment. Now, it must be tucked up. It must be pulled. So be able to labor, to walk, or to run, you know, without being hindered. Now, notice this. Let your loins be girded about and your lights burning. So here is something that has to do with their apparel. It's their outside. So they must not be hindered in their bodily manner by which their servitude will be hindered. And then they must also have a lamp and it must be lit. Now we know, of course, that you can be able to light it as the foolish virgin was able to light their wick. And the wick would burn for a while, but it will only burn for a short time unless it's dipped down into the oil. So here, these servants must have oil if they expect to have a burning light. And the church said, amen. If you and I expect to have a light burning right up to the rapture or to the way of the grave, there's only one way we can do it. We've got to be tapped into the oil of the Holy Ghost. Amen. That's right. Now, so they gird about their loins and they're going to be ready. They're going to be active. They're waiting. They're picking up. They're tidying up anything because they don't know. Will it be here at 8:30? We don't know. 8:45, 9:00, 9:05. But they're not going to have 2 hours in order from the time he knocks on the door and they will know their master's knock. So when he knocks, he will expect them within a matter of moments to be at the door. At their post of duty, they're to do what? Now they're to do their servitude. Now it's not a preparation time. You understand, friends? It's not a preparation time once the knock goes forth. The preparation time is now. When the Lord Jesus sets this in cycle of the resurrection, the body change, it is not a preparation time. Let him that is filthy be filthy still. For those who are thinking the time of the resurrection is a preparation time, that's contrary to the teaching of the scripture. The resurrection is not a preparation time. It's not a time to get ready. It's a time to move out of here. Now, notice this again when the second symbol that he uses, that your lights are to be burning. Every obstacle out of your way, your lamp trim, full of oil, everything of that. So the servants, what is it showing? It's showing the attitude of the servants that they're to be ready at all times, not knowing exactly when it will come. Now, it will be synchronized in such a way. Do they know the day, the hour, or the very minute? They do not. So what they're to do is to be ready at all times in case he were to come early, in case he were to come earlier than expected, or if he's later than expected. That's not it. He does not owe them an explanation. He does not give them a time frame of somewhere between a quarter till and by 10 after I should be back. He knows better than to do us that way. We're sorry enough the way it is. much less if He give us a time frame. Well, somewhere between January of 2012 and September of 2012. You can imagine what a lot of our sorry hives would do. So He just says, no man knows the day nor the hour. So it could be 2012, 2048, 21010, who knows when it'll be. But be ready, for in an hour you think not, the Son of Man's coming. Amen. Now watch, so in the night, of course, displaying again that it is nighttime of time of darkness. So they are to keep their lamps ready, not just have them there, but actually be burning. Now what are they going to do? Because they're like the houses, of course, and the hallways were not lit by electrical lights. So they did not have lights everywhere. They flip a switch as they go. So there would be corridors in the house, there would be halls in the house that would be dark. And the only light you would have would be the one you took with you. They would not be illuminated with bright halogen lights and incandescent lights and fluorescent lights. The only light you would have to go meet your Lord would be your light. You can't go on my light. You can't go on Brother Ram's light. You got to go on your light. Your lamps trimmed and burning is not Happy Valley as a church. It's you as an individual. Amen. Now, notice this. His servants are to be ready. They are to be prepared. So they're to have three things. They're to have girded loins, they're to have lighted lamps, and waiting hearts. Now it's not enough to have the two physical part in preparation and not have a heart, because if you don't have a waiting heart, you can be able to have the loins girt about, you can have the lamp sitting there, but you'll have an attitude. Amen. I want my heart ready. I want my heart ready too. Now, notice this in verse 36. Ye yourselves liken to men that wait for the Lord. Now, remember, this is not the unbeliever. This is not the sinner. But you are like men that wait for their Lord when He returned from the wedding. Now, this is not the marriage supper of the Lamb. It is simply a parable and symbol in which they could be able to relate to it. Now, imagine this is the way they've done things. The way we do things here. And you say, oh, yeah, that's the way we do it at Happy Valley. That's the way our family's always done it that way. Well, this is what Jesus is telling them. That when He related this, they said, oh, yeah, I know what He's talking about. That's the way we've done it on so-and-so's wedding and so-and-so's wedding. He said, that's the way it's going to be with me. I'm going to leave you here on the earth in charge of my business. And I'm going to go away, and I'm not going to a wedding, actually. I'm going to a mediation. I'm going to be your lawyer. I'm going to be your intercessor. Hallelujah. I'm going to go there and call names and drop them in the bleach and redeem them and fulfill the word. And you're going to be people of my household. Notice this, he says, as he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh, and they may open unto him. How soon? Now look at the setting now. The setting is, the picture is an emblem of the return of the Lord Jesus, showing the readiness of His people. And they are ready immediately. So friend, it's not that we're going to have 30 days and 40 days. Am I got to get this right and get that right? I'm sorry, that's contrary to the teaching of the bridegroom himself. Boy, praise the Lord. Oh my, it's midnight and the great house is without the bodily presence of His master. The bodily presence of the master of the house is not there. But He's giving those of His household a warning to look for. Have your loins girt about with truth. Have light in your lamps and oil in your vessels. Everything ready. And have an expectation in your heart, waiting and listening. What if your posted duty is to answer the door? Your posted duty is to grab the master's house shoes. Your posted duty is to take his horse. Your posted duty is to do this and that. He said, well, where's Larry? Oh, well, he thought you wasn't coming. Where's Greg at? Oh, Greg's the man with the house shoes. Oh, my goodness, Greg. Greg didn't think he was coming. What about him? What about her? What about her? He wants every one of us right there with our lamps all lit, our loins girt about with truth, and our heart waiting. Waiting for what? Glory. Hallelujah. Notice this. He wishes his servants to conduct themselves without him being there, as if, though, he was there. So you imagine now, here's the master of the house. You're just standing there, picking your fingernails, When he comes by, what are you doing? I'm chewing on my fingernail. Have you got your work done? No, sir, but I didn't want to do it right now. I'm a little bit depressed. If you've been outside, the humidity's 98. Temperature's 102. I don't really want to do it today. You are now currently looking for a new position. Well, if you wouldn't do that in front of him, he don't want us to have that attitude with his bodily presence. Not that. You see, the real bride will be able to act and live and do and behave as if Jesus was in a bodily form watching every move she makes every day. I mean, it's sort of like, you know, whenever we're going down the road and we're going 5 over the limit or 4 or 6 or 7 or whatever, you know. Man, you're going down Interstate 81, you're heading toward North Rome or heading toward Rome Street exit. And all of a sudden you come down through there and there sits them lights. That cop sitting there hiding in them spots. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Y'all know what I'm talking about. Yeah, you do. You know what I'm talking about. Sitting right there and all of a sudden, man, brake lights. Now what is it all of a sudden? They're getting legal. Oh my, they're getting so legal. Just all of a sudden, 2 seconds before they top that thing there, man, they're buzzing to work, they're late, they're stomping and sonic to get them a drink, they're going here, they're going there, and all of a sudden, red lights everywhere. Why? Because the presence of that vehicle now makes them want to comply. Oh. You understand? What is that though? Legalism. And also because we love our money, they don't want to pay that out to the city. So we become real legal real quick. And you'll grab for your seatbelt if you didn't buckle it up. Oh man, you want to get real legal just in case you get pulled over. Man, you model out. Model citizen. Praise the Lord. Well, glory. Yeah, and then we become like the man that was pulled over and the cop comes and says, do you always wear your seatbelt through the steering wheel? So that's where a lot of folks are with the Lord. Oh man, Jesus looks at him and says, you always wear your seatbelt through the steering wheel when you go to church? I mean, oh, glory to God, I'm going to church, I'm going to church. As soon as they get out of trouble, you know, they put God the spare tire back in the trunk and they live their own life. And then they get in trouble again, they get God back out and put God back on the spare tire and then they use God again. I'm going to tell you something, friend, one of them days of them spares is going to be over. He don't want to be your spare, he wants to be the center of your life. Amen. And nobody can live this way but the bride, that's all. Because she is endued with power from on high. If the bridegroom demands it and I can't do it, it's up to him to supply the power to endue me with the ability to perform it. Oh. Now, notice he says, whenever the master will come, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open to him immediately. Verse 37, blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find, not just ready, but watching. Can you imagine now, here comes the master upon his little donkey, his little horse, maybe if he's a rich, rich man, a cart. And he comes up and he sees them little lights through the windows. You know what it is? There's a servant behind every light. They're there through the windows of the house. You know what they're doing? They're watching for him. They're listening. They're waiting. Why? They're at their post of duty. They love him so much and they want to be faithful. Now, you know, they could do it with the attitude, I better get out there. He'll fire me if I ain't there. Oh boy. Oh, it makes a lovely home, don't it? That makes a lovely church. You know, the women don't cut their hair because they're afraid to get preached on. And folks don't do this and do that because they're afraid to get preached on. But oh, when they do it because they know it's a revelation by the word. And their husband don't want them to cut their hair. That's why they don't do it. Then they do it out of love. You're talking about a real home. Then they're not doing it because they're scared of hell because they know they'll never go to hell anyway. They're doing it out of love. How can I love him the way I do and go to hell? This kind of love ain't welcome in hell. But you imagine as he comes near and he sees them lights moving around in the house. Oh, it must really fall. Yes, can you imagine coming to the house, no lights? He knocks, 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 knocks. Finally the pastor comes in. What do you want? What are you doing waking us up out of our sleep? Oh, it's you. Oh, I'm sorry, sir. I'm sorry, sir. Yeah, you will be sorry, all right. Don't worry. That won't be none of the bride that way. Amen. Foolish virgin will be. Maybe we need it somewhere. The Holy Ghost. And the bride will say, you better go over there. Then it says, what is it? Okay. And they push their spiritual alarm off, pull the covers over there to see you back over on them. And then they wake up and the bride's gone. Oh my. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find. Watch. They're standing there, they got their loins girded. They're watching back and forth. And he sees them lights flickering. Oh, his heart must jump. They're watching. They're waiting. They're prepared. Verily I say unto you, he shall gird himself. Now this also is from a custom. At certain festivals and certain times, the master of the house would actually have a gathering for his servants, and the master would come in and serve them. That would make you feel so strange, wouldn't it? Of course, no doubt some of them had an attitude and felt like he owed it to them. But can you imagine the Lord Jesus? That's a great table of the King. When he sets us down and he comes up and he takes his robe and renders you a service. You say, what are you talking about? For you see, it will be the last time that I will ever cry. But I'll have tears running out of my eyes and I'll need a service rendered to me. So instead of angels doing it, instead of you reaching across the table, Brother Dale, you'll need yours wiped too. And you. But here he'll come and take his robe and take that robe and reach up and wipe the tears out of my eyes and render me a service and tell me, don't cry no more. And all of a sudden my tear glands will shut up and dry up and I won't cry again. What will it be? The great master himself, he found me ready. He found me watching. He found me waiting. Hallelujah. I was ready in an hour that I didn't even know when it was. I didn't even think it was the time. But something in me kept me ready. Thank you, Jesus. Now watch. The night was divided in that time in watches. If he shall come in the second watch or come in the third watch and find them so, blessed are those servants. So they come in one watch. They waited. You imagine this type of anticipation. It breaks down your nerves. It affects your blood pressure. It affects the physical part of us can only live under a certain element of strain. You ever get under an anticipation of something or under a real stress of something? And even when the stress part is past and the difficulty is past, it'll take you days to recuperate. Anybody ever been there? It seems like it takes you days to recuperate. Why? Because your adrenaline pumping in your body and your body under that stress and actually finally leaves. It's like, I am wore out. And you ain't done no physical work. You've not done physical labor. But it's something that's drained out of your body. There's no way that we as humans can live under this for 30 years, 40 years, 50 years. We'd go nuts. But the inside man can. For years we've tried to get this one to forget it. He won't never do it. He's sorry, lazy, stinking, no doubt, no count, no good. I'm talking about you now and me. He'll never be ready in the first place. You'll be whooping the fire out of him the morning of the rapture. You'll be getting all over him. You'll be talking to yourself like a dog. You'll be setting yourself in place, no doubt, the very night before your chain. Boy, I'm sick of you. I'll tell you one thing. Boy, you're aggravating me big time now. And in the morning, you'll lead him to a change.
You think you're going to get your old stinking flesh to a place 6 months before the rapture, you'll never make mistakes? That's false doctrine.
Right.
Brother Branham says you'll never get to a place to where that human part will be perfect without that change. We know that. And this knoweth the good men of the house that have known the hours the thief would come. He would have watched and not suffered his house to be broken through. Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when you think not. Notice now in Luke chapter 21, verse 33. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life. Look at the word overcharged. To weigh down. To overcharge. Literally be made heavy. As is the case with those who have eaten and drunken too much. Now you notice, this is not the work of the Holy Ghost. This is your job. This is not the job of the pastor, or your mama, your daddy, your brother, your sister. But Jesus said, take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged, weighted down, heavy down, overcharged with surfeiting. Notice this, a medical word used for nausea after drunkenness. A headache caused by excessive drinking. The giddiness and headache caused by drinking wine to excess. What is it? It's a hangover. It's a hangover. So Jesus says, don't get a hangover. Well, there's one simple way not to do that. Don't get drunk. Don't get drunk on the cares of this life, because it will cause you. Now, I've never had a hangover naturally, so I can only just draw from what I've talked to other people, but making you feel nauseated and dizzy and a headache and sick. So what is it? Because you got, now you imagine if the setting is that we come overcharged and we're so weighted down and we get up to do our service to the Lord and, want some breakfast? Breakfast. You want some fried eggs? Ham? Hamburger? Jell-O? You want something to eat? Don't talk to me about food. Let's go to church. Don't talk to me about going to church. I got a headache. That screaming and hollering and all that stuff gives me a headache. And then you try to get up and, I'm going to go do my duties. Are you really? Well, what if the Lord knocks on the door? You don't think that'll bother your head? You're preparing the banquet. You're getting ready. You don't think that smell of food's going to get to you? So the way to avoid a hangover is don't get drunk. You imagine them sitting there, and the Lord knocks on the door. Somebody gonna answer the door. I'm so sick. I'm gonna vomit. Oh, I keep standing up beating on the door. Oh God. Somebody go get the door. And everybody says, are you kidding? We've all got a headache. We're all sick. Now if this was not a potential, why would Jesus direct this to his own people? Oh my. Notice this, what he says. Take heed to yourselves, lest any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life. Cares, anxiety of this life, which is not Zoe. But things pertaining to this life. Pertaining to life and the affairs of this life. So we're not talking about getting drunk on wine or beer or whiskey. We're talking about getting so full of schedule of life. And so full of going here and going there and doing this and doing that and doing this and doing that and doing that and doing and doing and more doing. That it makes you so drunk that you can't even faithfully serve God. Do you understand preachers can get drunk preaching? Now, I'm talking about right spiritually. Folks can get drunk in the service of God. My preaching has nothing to do with my walk. I could preach like a sewing machine and not have one walk with God at all. Come on, my walk is a separate thing, but if I ain't got a good walk, it's sure going to reflect itself in my preaching. But me preaching, being anointed, has nothing to do, my friend, with me and my walk. You can preach and go here and go there and do this all in the name of the Lord. Oh, I'm helping, I'm doing this and doing that, and as drunk as you can be. Because you have no time between you and Him. Well, praise the Lord. Whew. The cares of this life. And so that day come upon you unaware. So you're just so tied up in this and that and the other and going here and there and there and there. That the day just comes right upon you and you don't even realize it's here. I've been talking about it, I've been pointing people to it, but I've been so wrapped up in that. You say, is that possible? I'll tell you what you do. You ask Moses. Moses was so caught up in being God's prophet that he hadn't even circumcised his own boy. Moses got so caught up in being such a whatever it was, he didn't even circumcise his own son. And his wife had to do the responsibility of the husband. Praise the Lord. You know what kind of temper Zipporah had? Poor little old Gershom, I already felt sorry for the little old fella. She went out there to the rock, and I mean, look like a stuck pig time she got done with him. She went over and cut the foreskin off and threw it down at the feet of Moses and said, you're a bloody husband unto me. Right. Woo, I'd say he come to his senses real quick time she got done with him. But look, it shows you how wrapped up that a man can be in the work of God, in the service of God, and let things right under his nose go undone. Now notice in Jesus, in the very next verse, for as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Y'all know what a snare is? A snare is a separate thing from a trap. Now many of the third world countries, they still hunt with snares. Many snares, as far as hunting and trapping here in the United States, is illegal. Some are still legal, but most of them are not. And it's because it's the way that it's gone about. Now years ago, people could use snares, there was no laws against it. But now they say it's inhumane, all this, that, and the other, in the way that it's gone about. But a snare is set in such a way that they will take a setting, it depends on the snare itself, of course, but they take a wire or a strong string and they want it very, very strong, but very, very small, so that the animal they are trying to catch does not see it. Now, they use them in Africa still, they catch baboons, they use different types of things and snares, and they want to bait that snare. They'll put something, a piece of fruit, something, some food, something to eat. And they'll put it inside the snare, or the animal will walk and catch its leg. And whenever it does, they'll bend a real green tree over like this, and then they'll tie it. And whenever it's tripped, then the bended tree goes like this and throws the baboon or whatever that is caught up into the air, and it's suspended up in midair, screaming, squalling, hollering, caught by its leg. Depending on the animal, some of them will actually chew their foot off, chew their leg off, whatever more. A coon will do the same thing. But yet a snare is very, very cunning. It's very, very, you know, very deceptive, because it, in order to catch the animal, it must be laid in its natural surroundings. So you don't go out there and have something, you know, red, white, and blue and say, this is a snare for a coon. And then, it, you know, it's all bright and got lights all over, and that coon comes out and said, a bunch of dummies that think I'm going to walk into that. So it's hidden in such a way of the coon's surroundings, so that the coon or the baboon or whatever they're trying to catch will not notice it. So they will camouflage it with greenery and they'll put natural surroundings. You wouldn't want to put this organ there. He'd know there's something wrong. You wouldn't want to put a cup of Gatorade there. He'd know there's something wrong. So you bury the snare in something that he sees every day. And then you play on his natural appetites.
Oh, maybe we should preach on this for a while.
Oh my, so here the snare is laid in its natural surroundings. It's not laid in anything you want to hide. Every trace of it as much as possible. And then put something there that will move upon his appetite. Now of course, since he's not a human, you put a laptop computer in the middle of that snare. That coon would never know what to do. That baboon would never know what to do because he cannot relate. That's not his appetite. So you put something food, something he can smell, something he can relate to, which is where we always get trapped too. Our appetites. Well, glory to God. So Jesus says that Satan will lay snares all around you with cares of life. And they'll be hid in your activities over there. And over there, before long, the week is gone. And you've not even prayed. Not even hardly read your Bible because you've been so busy. And of course, you've got a good motive. You're trying to make more money for the family. And you're trying to do this and do that and the other. And actually, you're flying up in the tree like this. Because the snare has got you so much. You can't even get loose. Praise the Lord. Look, friends, I think about it. It's a wonderful thing that you folks want to do all kinds of things with your kids. It's wonderful that you want to take them here and do this and do that and the other. But sometimes I wonder, what are we teaching our kids? Are we teaching our kids that pleasure and self-indulgence is more than spiritual things? That it has more value than going to church and doing things of God? How much time are you telling them about the message? How much time are you sitting down and you're preparing them for this and that and the other? How much time before they enter into college are you telling them, look, you're going to meet an onslaught of college that you have never met before. And if they raise questions in your mind, you come back to me and your mama and we'll go back to the pastor and we'll sit down and talk. Or do we just don't even think about those things because we're so drunk on the cares of life? And then they go and they face those things and then they begin to wonder, well, what is this message anyway? I've never heard this before. I'm not even sure if I believe it. Snares. Praise the Lord. Snares. For as a snare shall it come. Now look, Jesus don't even say his bride will be exempt from these snares. Listen to what he says. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Preachers, deacons, trustees, housewives. Right. Sisters, if you do not set time aside for God, not you and your husband and God, not you and your children and God, not you and your grandchildren and God, you and God. By the time the end of the week comes, it's gone. One week leads to another, to another, to another. And it's been a month and then two and then on and on. And it becomes a way of life. Yes, and we think he accepts it. Oh my. Lord Jesus. Oh God. I love this verse. Verse 36. Watch ye therefore and pray. You are kidding me. Not three times a day like Islam, but always. Always? Well, you say, I can't go in my closet. He never told you to go to no closet. You can pray going to Lowe's. You can pray when you're pushing your buggy down through getting butter and milk and cookies and crackers at Walmart. Have a prayer on your heart. Notice, and he's going to tell us what to pray. Pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape all of these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. You mean we're not just to take it for granted because we're elect? That this kind of comes with the ground? We're not just to take it for granted. Well, man, I'm right, man. I don't have to pray. That's contrary to what Jesus said. Jesus said, pray. Now notice, who's he talking to? Those that's going to escape. But now this is us. Do we believe we're going to escape? Well, then we have directions on how to pray. Lord, help me that I'll stay worthy. Is it any wonder, friends, that Brother Rand preaches a sermon and entitles it, Is Your Life Worthy of the Gospel? My, Matthew chapter 24, verse 45. Notice now, these are the words of your husband. Who then is a faithful and wise servant? Now watch Jesus. He asked this question. Where is one to be found fit for this position? Who then is a faithful and wise servant? Notice how servants come. Who is then is this faithful and wise servant whom his Lord has made ruler over his household? Preachers, deacons, you know, all these sorts of positions. Many people want them. But really a position should not be sought after. Just out of pride or I want to be this or I want to be that. When it comes to the ministry, only the Lord Jesus calls a person genuinely. It's not a feeling. Well, I feel, I think. As I tell most of the men who come and talk to me about preaching, it should be a very similar manner that the Lord Jesus himself speaks to you just like he spoke to Peter, except without the corporal body. And if he don't call you that way, forget it. Let me tell you something, church. There's been many times I felt like quitting preaching. I've wrestled, I've battled with things. You know what series I've overcome with? None. You know what sermon that I preached that I always used to come back and get my footing? None. You know what I use? My call. I remind him over and over again, but you called me. I use not the rapture series. I don't use this series or that series or that series or that series. I go back. Amen. When Almighty God spoke to me over 20 years ago and told me to come here. You all remember that? That was the original ones here. I told him I did not want to come here. I wanted nothing to do with you people. Sorry about that. But yet God himself, you believe it, do whatever you want to with it. Almighty God himself spoke to me and told me to come here. There's been so many times I felt like packing up everything I've got and heading to somewhere and not letting y'all know where it is. Because I know what some of y'all do, you'd follow me. But you know what I come back to? As I said, not one sermon, right? Because I said, God, you let me preach so and so and so and so. I go back and say, God, you told me to go there. You told me to come. Your God, if you call me, you're obligated to help me to know what to do. So it's not, well, I want to be a pastor of a church. I want to be this. That's not even my own call. That's not my choice to say, well, I want to be this or I want to be that. Notice how Jesus sets this for us. Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his Lord has made ruler over his household? Now notice what a position this is. What this man's main duty is. To give them meat in due season. Now the Greek word here of course used for meat was, they would say that set down to meat. That doesn't necessarily mean lamb or dove or, you know, as we would relate to meat today. But the word here was used for any sustenance, whether it be bread, whether it be grains, whether it be an animal, whatever more, this term was used. So Jesus is showing, who then is a faithful and wise man that chosen by God? One of the identifications of this man will always be, he's in tune with the meat for the season. Now, if he's preaching a 40-year-old sermon that's out of touch with where you are, there's probably something wrong with it. Well, glory. Notice. notice this, their food in due season. So it was the officer, the responsibility of the officer of the church to be a dispenser of the food. Now notice Jesus setting forth this parable, and he didn't say up until the last day when Brother Branham would come, and then after Brother Branham would come, of course you wouldn't need this office anymore to be replaced. Don't you see, friends, the Antichrist spirit around this message that wants to do away with the ministry and play tapes only? Don't you see where that comes from? It's against the very spirit of the teaching of the Lord Jesus himself. That's why I call it Antichrist, because it is. Brother Bram says anything against the teaching of Christ is Antichrist. Right. Now, notice Jesus says, who then is this faithful and wise servant? The word faithful is pistos, which is where the Greek base word that comes from faith. And he says, the meaning of this is trusty, faithful. Persons show themselves faithful in the transaction of business, the execution of commands, or the discharge of official duties. The discharge of official duties. Now, you know, no real man can really be a godly leader unless that man can have a record of being led. Because if he's not, he'll be a dictator. No God called man, absolutely no God called man, whether he's been preaching 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 900, 875, or 1,000 years, ever gets to a spot that he cannot be led further in God. And that he can be helped even by brothers that may be way younger than him. Because no one man has all of it. As a matter of fact, Brother Branham said himself, he took many, many notes and preached many different sermons from sermons he heard Brother Neville preach. Well, glory. So watch this now. This servant, notice again, now this is the type of the coming of the Lord. So Jesus says, who is this faithful and wise servant? So the servant is called a steward. And a steward was a slave or one that was put over the household and given to delve out the responsibilities and the food and all those sorts of things under a household. Now watch this. Jesus says, who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his Lord has made ruler? Ordained, set in place, to set over a thing, in charge of, to appoint as an office of an administrator. Now remember, this is the main man himself, saying he's going to have rulers in the house of God. Well, glory. Now, this ruler is put over what Jesus termed as his household. Look at this in Matthew 10:25. It is enough for the disciple that he be as his master and the servant as his Lord. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more shall they call him of his household? So the church of the living God is actually referred to as the household of God. Galatians 6:10. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto them, especially them who are of the household of faith. Ephesians 2:19. Now therefore you're no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens of the household of God. So God has put ministry then over the household of God. They are not there to be masters. They are not there to be dictators. But they are there to be servants to delve out the food in order to give out food. Not just any food, but food in season. Now this is where a man must be gifted. Because if not, we have got a message. We've got a Bible. We could sit down and put all kinds of notes together. Got all kinds of things to study. I don't mean it's in season. How many of y'all enjoyed the service here Sunday morning? You see, your pastor thought he was ready for Sunday morning, Saturday. But I was sitting downstairs in my study studying Saturday before church before Brother Amos come and preached. And all of a sudden the Lord started speaking to me about Enoch and the pyramids. And I thought, uh-oh, I better get to studying here. So I got to looking, got up early Sunday morning, got downstairs, started doing all that stuff. I about had me a runaway. I mean, I was down there. You know why? I'm so glad I can be led of the Holy Ghost. Now, if I would have followed what I already had thought, was there anything wrong with what I was going to preach? Nothing at all. But apparently, the season was out of sync. The scriptures was all right. The quotes was okay. There was nothing wrong. But apparently, the Lord wanted you stone folks to hear a stonemason sermon. Amen. Oh, man, we about had a rapture out here, didn't we, by the grace of God? Now, look, a man without a gift, what will he do? He'll follow his notes. A man without a gift, he can study and put things together, but the gift synchronizes the mind of God and pulls the man with the gift into the mind of God, because it's God's way of dealing with the man. Many, many people, even women here, no doubt, could put subjects together and stand behind this pulpit and could bring some pretty astounding things. But I ain't gonna let you do it. Oh, shoot. Some of you said, man. No doubt some of you men could out-preach circles around me and some God-called men. But you lack a call. You're smart. Smart. Have the ability to study. Have the ability to put things together. But Jim Babb told me he was so inspired after that sermon on pyramids, he's ready to go out and hold a convention or something somewhere. Just speak on pyramids. Said, man, that thing is so smart. Of course, till somebody ask him a question, you know, maybe he said. So Jesus says, these are the men. Notice, not businessmen. Jesus didn't choose businessmen. Now, they know how to make money. They don't know how to run a church. Making money and running a church has absolutely nothing in common. Nothing. There's no correlation. There's nothing to it at all. Because we're not making money. We're making a bride. Well, good. I'll tell you one thing, Brother Donnie. I'll be able to tell you some things. No doubt you could. I believe I could really help you if you listen to me. Well, maybe you could on certain things, but then you'd want to control me, wouldn't you? Some of you folks have been looking for my remote for years. Man, if you had a remote for me, I'd get to certain spots, you know, like, and stop. And Jesus loves you, and he preached that. I'm telling you one thing, if you, and then you'd rewind me to certain things you'd like, and I'd be saying it all over and over again. And then you'd do these other brothers, and you'd fast forward and jump chapters and go over here and go over there. Preachers don't come with remotes. Well, they do, but Jesus is the only one that's got it. Because a lot of times what they're preaching don't even make no sense to them, because they don't always catch the season either, right here. This can catch it when this don't understand it. Ain't that right, preachers? Oh my. So here Jesus is showing us the example of the New Testament church right on up to the rapture. So then show me, where would a tape church fit into this parable? You have a businessman that picks out the tape and gets up and says, now we will introduce our pastor, Brother Branham. And they push play. Or folks who stay home and do similar thing. Well, glory. Some more emails, Brother Jim. Now watch how Jesus relates to this guy. Jesus don't say this guy is the guy who goes to the grocery store. Jesus says, he calls this position a ruler. A ruler in the house of God. So if this man is called by Jesus himself and put in that position, and then people in that assembly constantly cause issues, troubles, arguing, this and that and the other, with that God-appointed man, how does that make them reflect toward him? Constantly refuted. Oh, we don't need preachers. Oh, there ain't no such thing as preachers. Oh, they're a bunch of money lovers. Oh, this and that and the other. As I've said it before, Brother Branham had to spend so much of his time proving to the people God still had prophets. We have to prove so much of our time proving he still has pastors. And evangelists and teachers. Right? Isn't it a shame? It's really a shame. That shouldn't even have to be even said in message churches. But creeds has enveloped us, friends. My, who's that faithful and wise servant whom his Lord has made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season? Well, can't they read? Sure they can. Can't they play tapes? Sure they can. Can't they read their own Bible and read their own book? Sure they can.
but they still need someone to help them. I ain't preaching this for job security. I'm preaching because it's truth. This is the way Jesus himself set it up. So many of you come and say, oh, Brother Don, you sent me an email. I was reading that scripture out for church. How many of y'all have done it? I had this question. I was talking to so-and-so this week, and this was brought up. And you come right and preach on the very same thing. Me and my wife was talking about that. I mean, I hear it all the time. Sure. Thank God for it. Thank God. That's the Holy Ghost answering back to you. Amen. But how many of you have also said, I never got that out of it, and you won't? Why? It's His Word. He has put a position in a church to help you. Even things that you've heard, things you've read that very day, and you look right over. Why? There's not a gift there in you to pull it out. And then even in that, no sir, no particular man has all of the insight. Brother Jason will preach something. I said, Lord have mercy. I just read that scripture. I never got that. I go down there and preach something. He said, where does he get all that at? Where does all that come from? Because God dispersed his gifts among his rulers. And we feed from one another by the Spirit of God. And we share and we enjoy. Oh my. Meat. In due season. Let's stand together. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
We'll pick it up again, Lord willing, next week. If you'll notice, Jesus didn't say this servant was pauper. That's not his responsibility. His responsibility is not to please everybody. His responsibility is not to be famous. His responsibility is to feed the sheep. In due season. He's gifted to be able to rightly divide the word of truth. You see, to where the sheep will take a quote, man, they head 90 miles an hour down that way. But a gifted man will say, brother, you forgot this quote here. It also goes, oh my. Glory. Friends, that's not to be mean. That's God's gift to you. Brother Branham was God's gift to us.
Yes.
Paul was God's gift. Right. These God-called men are God's gift to us.
Right.
To give us meat. Right. In due season. Right. Well, the helicopter preacher comes flying in here this weekend. Brother Jewel. What is that? That's the office of an evangelist. To give you some meat in due season. But you got to listen well and catch it fast. Oh my, don't you appreciate the mercy of God?
Amen.
Look, this is Jesus setting forth what would be promised the end time. How come he didn't put a stop at it in 63 and say after this it'll change?
Yeah.
He carries it right on to the very end.
Yes,
this is the way it'll be at the very end time.
Yes.
If you got to have healing, and Brother Ben said you got to preach the right things to produce healing,
right.
You got to have right healing faith, deliverance faith. Sore for needing a rapture. If we're needing a rapture and we're just preaching on psychology, will preaching on psychology produce faith for a rapture? You tell me. I mean, we're just preaching on healing alone and campaigns and boy, we're going to go out and we're going to witness and we're, will that within itself produce? It won't. Somebody better be doing some preaching on a rapture then. Why? It's season. It's the season. And only a gifted man can find the season and rightly divide the word of truth and feed those in the household of God. Amen. Let's pray together if you would. Heavenly Father, thank you tonight, Lord Jesus, for your precious word. Oh, Lord. How I thank you for these scriptures. Dear Jesus, thank you for setting forth so many, many years ago what we were to look for, what was to happen, what was to be the expectation of our hearts. We want to be as the first parable, Lord, to have our loins girded, our lights full of oil, our lamps trimmed and burning. We want to have our hearts waiting with expectation. Then, Lord, as I turn and look at the cares of life and the overcharge is surfeiting. Help me. Help each of us. Then, Father, the parable of the servant. Lord, that's not just speaking to everyone, but you're speaking to the ministry. Help me, Lord, as the pastor. Help these other ministers, evangelists, and whatever their position is, Lord. Help us that we'll not be so caught up in serving the people that we'll let things go in our own lives. May we not be so caught up in preaching and running and preaching that we let our own testimony become weakened. Help us, Lord God. Lead me, Lord. Help me that I'll always be sensitive, Father. Even sometimes when it makes no sense to me why you've changed me, why you've set me in another direction. Help me to be sensitive to the Holy Ghost. I confess it before you and these people. I don't always know what they need. I don't know what they need. I don't know from service to service, from weekend to weekend. Help me to be sensitive. That I can follow the leading of the Holy Ghost to bring meat in due season. Help me, Lord, that if you lead me to preach on something for 2 or 3 minutes or 5 minutes, whatever it is, that has absolutely nothing to do with the subject matter that I'm speaking about for that night. Help me to speak it and know it was served up specially, maybe for a young person, maybe for someone on the internet, someone battling a certain thing, and they needed that powerful little dose of food right there in that 5 minute little sermonette, and it would be something that carried them over, Lord. Help me, Lord Jesus. Help me, dear God, that I'll never, ever get to a spot that I think I've preached so many years. I don't need your leading, Father. Help me, Lord, that I'll always be sensitive to the Holy Ghost. Grant it, Lord Jesus. We love you, Father. There's one here tonight that's drunk. Lord, maybe they don't smoke. They don't drink alcohol. Lord, they don't run with women. They don't do many things that are sinful. You never told us here the snares would be necessarily sinful things. You didn't say the sins of life, but the cares of life. Just the busyness of life. Our economy being the way it is, it exacts more out of people to work more and work harder. And they've got to make work more now to pay for what they've got. To get so busy and doing and going. And help us, Lord Jesus. We confess to you tonight. We need your help, Lord. Help us, Father. We don't want to be spiritually nauseated. We don't want to come to the house of God with a spiritual headache and giddy and nervous because we're still having symptoms of that hangover. But help us, Lord, if we're going to be drunk on the Holy Ghost. Grant it, Lord Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Brother Bam said, he got the Holy Ghost, and for 30-some years, he'd been drunk every day of his life. So intoxicated on the Holy Ghost. Help us, Lord Jesus, to be drunk that way, Lord. Oh, grant it, Lord. It makes us sick, too. It makes us sick of this world. It makes us sick of living here. The more drunk we get on the Holy Ghost, the more we hate this world and its sin. Help us, Lord Jesus, I pray. We love you, Father. Go with your children now, Lord. Grant it, dear God, may there not be a one of us missing at that great day. Lord, I pray that you would help us, even as you said it so many years ago. Pray you therefore always that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and stand before the Son of Man. I pray that my life will always be worthy of the gospel, Lord Jesus. That I may be accounted worthy to escape the tribulation period, to escape all these things that's going to come upon the earth and stand before the Son of Man. Grant it, Lord Jesus. I don't want to take it for granted, but I pray that you'd help me to walk a life worthy of the gospel. Grant it, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Can we just raise our hands? Let him just search your life tonight, friend. You take heed yourself. I know it's such a balance in life. Life itself, one of the great mysteries to me, is finding a balance of all things. Work, pleasure, church, all the things we have to kind of balance it out. You have no more hours in your day than our fathers did.
have no more hours, no more minutes in your hour, no more weeks in the year. And yet we have so much more to attend to, so much more to do. May God help each of us that we can find that spot where we do the things of life. And yet we enjoy things of life. Your mothers with your children, your fathers with your work, all that we have to do. And yet at the same time that we don't become so drunk that we don't just have any time at all for us in Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus. I love you, Lord. I love to study your word, Father. I love it. But I love to just take time. Most of the time when I'm studying for these people. But sometimes I like to just feed. And sometimes I like to not just necessarily play a tape. But just me and you talk. And just spend time. Because most always when I listen to a tape, I'll always hear something. And I'll write down a note and I'll say it into my phone or something so I don't forget it. And then my mind goes to preparing another sermon or another series. So I get right back in that same mode again. Labor, labor, service, study, study. So Lord, sometimes I like to just stop that part and just spend time with you. I love listening to Brother Branham. You know that. But yet, Lord, my walk with you is not me listening to Brother Branham. It's me stopping that every now and then. And me and you talking. And me and you fellowshipping. And I love it, Lord, that me and you can be so close that it ain't just me doing all the talking. But you can talk back. And you can come near me. It thrills my heart to think you want to be near me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You want to feel that way, children? Don't you want to feel that way about Jesus and him feel that way about you? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Help us, Father, to find that in our lives, Lord. In Jesus' name. God bless you, saints. Look at me for just a moment. Just the other day, I was thinking about how parents do things for their kids. And then when they have their kids have kids and they start doing things for their grandkids. And I just thinking in my mind about this brother and how he does this for his kids and this one. And I think about myself and what I tried to do for my children and for my grandchildren. And I just said it out loud. And I said, what a person will do for their kids. I no sooner and got it out of my mouth till he spoke to me and said, now you know a little of what I've done for mine. I know people don't believe that. They don't think God can talk anymore. And they're right. He came to them. But for those of us that will let him, he wants to be just that close. I tell you what, I just cried. I wept. I just thought, Lord, thank you. Thank you. That's true. What you've done for your children. Your parents know what I'm talking about. You relate. You do this and you do this and you watch out for them and your grandchildren and all that. Oh, my. And you say, it's so small compared to what he's done for us. God bless you, children. I love you in the Lord. Brother Larry, let's sing together Amazing Grace. Come back this weekend expecting the Lord to move again in a wonderful, great way. Brother Joe will be preaching Saturday night and Sunday morning. The Lord will not be down with Brother Daniel Gissonetta this week. So certainly desire your prayers for me there that the Lord will just help us. And Lord willing, we'll see you back again Wednesday night. Let's sing it together, Brother Larry. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved. Can we raise our hands? Amazing grace, how sweet
praise God.
Have your loins girded, your lamps trimmed and ready, and watching. Watching. When he comes, let Jesus see you peeping out the window. I don't want to catch me no lazy boy kickback with a glass of iced tea and a bowl of Rocky Road ice cream. I might be all right naturally, but not spiritually. That shows a negligence in my heart. So when he comes, I want him to see my face plastered right against the window. Just like that. Ready. My loins girded. My lamp full of oil. Amen. And when he knocks at the door, I don't have to wait 5 minutes. I don't have to wait 10 minutes. I want to be part of the welcome party. Amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you, saints. Go in the fear of God. Let's sing it together as we go. Amazing.